Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello there and welcome to So I Got to Thinking, the weekly podcast where we take the timeless questions of fictional journalist Carrie Bradshaw and apply them to modern life and love. As ever, you are joined by Juno Dawson and Dylan B. Jones. And this week, I'm very excited because we have a guest on the show who I've wanted to have on since season one. I think she is a writer with perhaps her finger on the pulse of modern feminism more than anybody else I can think of. It is the author of Pretending and How Do You Like Me Now? It's Holly Bourne. Hi, Holly. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello. I'm very, very excited to be here. Perfect lockdown activity. I'm very, very excited.
And we have, I think, a really, really great episode. We have been watching season 3, episode 6, the snazzily titled Are We Sluts?
And it's one where the title of the episode is the same as Carrie's question, which doesn't happen very much.
In fact, this might be maybe the first time that's actually happened. Dylan, yeah. Do you want to launch us with your potted synopsis?
Yeah, so Carrie is continuing to date the dashing Aidan Shaw, who's like something out of a Danielle Steele novel, which she mentions later. Samantha is bad for the building, because she's allegedly letting in loads of men at all hours and opening up the door for invaders. Charlotte's dating a guy who says a strange thing when he orgasms. Mm-hmm. And Miranda is grappling with chlamydia.
I mean, one of those rare weeks where literally all the characters are equally ridiculous in
all
some
the
ways.
Things. All the things are happening.
There is a lot going on. And to be honest, I don't really know where to start, but I think the reason I wanted Holly on this week, we have in previous episodes referred to this as the womb in the room and the necessity to have a cisgender woman on, because Dylan and I, for the best part of 20 years each, have been so firmly embedded in the queer culture and the queer scene and queer dating that honestly, I am not sure we are qualified to answer this question, because I do think there is a different set of rules for straight, white, cis women in this instance compared to myself, a trans woman, who in culture is more often than not portrayed as a sex worker. So I think it is assumed that trans women are sluts. And Dylan is a white gay man. Again, the stereotype of the promiscuous gay man is hugely embedded in our culture. So society assumes Dylan is a slut. In this case, it's true. And we earn that. We celebrate that because we do not slut shame it. So I got to thinking. But in this instance, Dylan and I are not qualified to assess the various levels of sluttiness in this episode of Sex and the City. So that's where you come in, Holly.
The pressure.
Right.
Well, should we start with her question? Are we sluts is an incredibly loaded question that is automatically a bit problematic.
I know. I feel like before I want to say anything, what I found a shame about the episode, there are lots of shames in this episode, but the fact that the episode doesn't even discuss the concept of a slut at all, and the fact that a slut is a societally constructed myth to shame women, and just the word itself is just ugh. And they kind of missed a real trick there. What I also found quite weird is when they're all in brunch discussing if they are not sluts or not, both Samantha and Charlotte look to their friends for advice and go, "I'm not a slut, am I?" And both Miranda and Carrie just go quiet. And I'm just like,
that's ridiculous.
It's mad. And so when I was trying to work out how we even chat about this episode in a way that is not shameful and without judgment, which I think is really important, I was trying to like just sort of say that like a slut doesn't exist. In my feminism. So I was just trying to work out what a different word that we could use. And so I was looking at the word promiscuous and promiscuity. And then I was trying to work out which of them are and aren't promiscuous and what that means. And then I ended up on this weird part of the internet, which is like proves that women are naturally promiscuous. And you can tell promiscuous species is by the size of men's balls. And apparently humans have medium sized testes, which mean that women and human beings in general are mediumly promiscuous. And that's just, yeah, this is what this episode did to me, really. It broke me.
I really want to go down that rabbit hole. That sounds like the most amazing rabbit hole. I think, again, if you get the official Sex and the City book from the early noughties, there is an infographic of how many sexual partners each woman has had. As you would expect, Samantha's is the longest, closely followed by Charlotte, then followed by Miranda, then in last place by quite some margin is Carrie, who for a sex columnist has surprisingly few sexual partners for a show called Sex and the City. But I think you're right, Holly, in that way too often in Sex and the City do they present some really ripe feminist discussion and then just entirely fail to talk about it.
Yeah, we found this before, like they've skirted around, and we've said this like a good few times now, they dance around some potentially really big and interesting issues and then either get it slightly wrong, woefully wrong, or just kind of stop when they could have gone a lot further. Something that, leading on from what you've just been saying, Holly, just before in Carrie's voiceover, just before she asks the question, "Are we sluts?" the precursor to that question is she says, "How many men is too many men?" And that just made me think, like, I was like, well, there's no such thing as too, like, that's so arbitrary. There's no such thing as too many. Like, well, who's counting, you know? And like Miranda making the list and stuff. It's such a, I mean, and this is actually something I'd be interested in your opinion on. For me, that is such a like 90s teenage thing. Is that like, what about in and Juno as well, in you guys' experiences, is that still something that people do, do you think? Do you think like people talk about how many people they've slept with? I left that behind when I was like 18 or like 20, mostly because I started to lose count. But
but because you've never been slut shamed. Nobody, and I speak from experience, you know,
Well, I have been, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, but I'm sure not as much as you see.
Well, I can confidently say from Trans Corner, bing bong bing, that you know I wasn't slut shamed until I transitioned, and that even,
I mean that speaks volumes, doesn't
it? Yeah, and even then it was in a different way, in that I was told post transition that you know I shouldn't, you know. For use of a colloquial phrase, I shouldn't sleep around because, you know, it would be dangerous for me. That, you know, we hear all the time about trans women being murdered by their sexual partners. And so it wasn't that I was kind of slut-shamed so much as you can't do that now. Like, any idea that you might have had about sleeping around, you've got to draw a line under that now. But certainly pre-transition, there was an expectation that I would be having a lot of sexual partners. And in fact, actually, my straight friends and my cisgender friends slightly egged it on. They were kind of like, "Oh my God, you know, tell us your stories, give us your adventures." Because I was queer, I was perhaps out there a little bit more than some. And in the gender games, you know, I wrote about my going out of business sale when I went to Ibiza. And did just sleep with the whole of Ibiza. And because I knew I was about to transition, so I thought, well, let's have one last hurrah. Because I knew things were about to change, and sure enough, they did. So it's that difference. And I think there is some redemption from Carrie's voiceover about Steve, where she says men who have a lot of partners are not called sluts, they're called very good kissers. So at least she acknowledges there is some sexism around this. But I think I mean, Holly, I'll have to defer to you again on this, but I think the difference is that when men express their number, it's in a boastful way. Whereas, I don't know, do women feel a pressure to under-report their numbers?
I don't know. It was interesting because when I fell down my weird Google hole last night after watching this episode, and yeah, I was looking at the infographic of how many sexual partners the girls have in the episode, in the series. So I think in this episode, Miranda reveals that she has slept with 42 people. Mm-hmm. Steve is higher. The thing that worried me about that really was that neither of them had ever had an STI test and clearly
right.
had condoms. That was like, if I was like, any shame to be had, I was like, guys.
Yeah. And Steve didn't know what chlamydia was. Like, are you kidding me?
It was just very odd. It was like, if they're living in New York in the 80s, like surely safe sex was something they're aware of. But like, it's just that I found mad, but it was interesting. So then I started... And then I was trying to figure out how you measure promiscuity and what it means and which of them are promiscuous and which of them are just make bad relationship decisions, which mean in the quest for love, they're kind of having sex with more people. But what I always found weird is the US median number for sexual partners over your lifetime was women of 4 in the US and men as claimed of 7. And I don't pretend to know much about maths, but even then I'm like, I don't understand how that maths works. Because who are the men sleeping with if women's numbers are 4?
There's one Samantha type woman in every state.
Yeah, every man visits her to get their numbers up. Like, it's
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. And it also like raises the question, because I'm like really interested in this stuff and have been for a long time. It raises the question, like, how are these conclusions come to? Like, and like, are people lying because of stigma and stuff like that? Another thing I thought about with Miranda and Steve's conversation about chlamydia is when Miranda says, "I'm a big, dirty, diseased whore." That was like, and that opened to me. That opens a whole another thing that I'm really interested in, which is like stigma around STIs. The fact that like getting chlamydia is treated with way more kind of shock and comedy than if someone gets the flu, when really in many ways it's not much different. It's like a fairly minor infection that you've caught off someone that's easily treatable. Again, and then that got me thinking about like HIV and like stigma against HIV and how like with treatments now, it's kind of akin to, I don't know, like having just some other... like being diabetic or something, but it's still treated in a much more big, scary way. Anyway, that's the mental wormhole that I went down.
calling herself. I don't know if maybe it's like to give it, like, I guess the time it was, people were maybe less aware of STIs. I don't know. I worked for a sex and relationship charity for 5 years, so this is like. And nothing I don't seem to know about STIs, and I just look at everyone just kind of going, do you have super gonorrhea, do you have itchy, that ruins like your ability to casual sex, you're just dealing with, you know, that all the time. But it's I'd hope that in casual hookup culture now, the kind of the safe sex conversation is something that people have a lot more regularly. And yeah, I found quite like where maybe I would have a bit of judgment in that thing was the fact that between them they had such as over 100 people and none of them heard an STI test or seemed to be using condoms.
They're in their early 30s and they've never had an STI test.
Because I must admit, I thought this episode was the one where Sam has her HIV test. I was surprised I think that's coming up. So we will revisit STIs later this season as well. And there is, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but there's the surprise where Carrie says, how have you never had an AIDS? Well, I think she calls it an AIDS test. How have you never had an AIDS test? And it is, like Holly said, I cannot fathom how women in their 30s who had lived through the pinnacle of the AIDS crisis in the late 80s, early 90s could have avoided an HIV test. And I mean, I think Carrie says she's had 2, but Yeah, it's surprising. And I would like to say as well, for listeners who might be listening to this, a chlamydia test no longer involves a penile swab for men. It is just a urine test now. So there isn't even a swab to worry about. But and that was a slightly irresponsible message as well, that the notion that an STI test is something that you should fear, because actually, you know, at any stage in my life, actually, they've been fairly unevasive, if I'm honest. And also
for listeners, a friend of mine who works in an STI clinic said that it's really important to get tested now if you're sexually active, because people have been becoming sexually active again but not going to clinics because of coronavirus. So that's obviously bad. So order a test.
Is it the Soho one where you put your little swab in this like space shuttle? And it was just the most exciting. I saw it in a Hannah Witten's YouTube video where she was trying to demesticide process, and I'm in a long-term relationship, so luckily. And I was a bit like, oh, I want to go have a swab and put it up the space shuttle. It just looked really fun.
I mean, you could just do it anyway.
I might need to check he's not cheating. Yeah, you know, mainly just because it was like, boom, it was like the future.
I will say that the amazing facilities at the place we're talking about is Dean Street Express Dean Street in Soho. Not every area is like that. And I remember when I left Brighton to move to London, oh my God, I was shook. Because in Brighton, at that point, you had to wait 10 days for your results. So, you know, things, depending on where you are in the country, provision changes wildly. I mean, what you can get everywhere now is the 5-minute pinprick test for HIV, which, if you are not familiar with this, it's the most amazing advance in HIV testing, where they literally take a drop of blood from your finger, dip it in a little palette, and within 5 minutes you have your results. And that is really what has revolutionized HIV testing in this country. And interestingly, it's kind of where we're headed with coronavirus testing now as well, where there is an immediate result.
One thing I did think, in the vein of this conversation that we're all currently having, is that one good thing about Miranda's chlamydia storyline is it was kind of like a little lesson when her and Steve were talking. Like, she was like, yeah, men don't have any symptoms, but you can pass it on to women and it can make women infertile, and you need to wait this long and you need to do this. You can just go to the free clinic. So, I mean, that was good.
Like, what I quite liked about them, I mean, I just love Miranda in general. Like, she kind of just, you know, she did just go through that list, you know, and just hardcore rang them and was like, this is awkward. You know, she did the right thing. And I think initially I wasn't impressed with Steve's response to when she was like, you might have to get a test. And he's like, oh, I'm a doctor. And I was like, oh, Steve. But then actually when they did have this loaded question of what's your number, I just thought it was actually a really wonderful, healthy response from both of them. You know, they were both in the higher numbers and they both just giggled about it. And then you could just tell that conversation was put to bed, excuse the pun. And it was, you know, no shame, no jealousy, no, you know. And I was like, that is nice thing to see. Like, Steve has redeemed himself. He did go get the test. He's not shamed his girlfriend for her numbers, and she's not shamed him. And it would be nice if more couples were able to have that numbers conversation without it bringing stuff up. So that was one of the small nods.
One of the very few plus points on that.
And well, while we're on a positive, let's seize upon that and take a short break now. And please do join us after this short interval, where we will get into the nitty gritty once again. See you in a sec.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome back to So I Got You Thinking. This week we are talking about the season 3 episode Are We Sluts? With our special guest star, it's author Holly Bourne. Welcome back, everybody. So let's get into Carrie and Aidan.
Yeah.
I don't think I can concentrate because I fancy Aidan so much. I was just like panting. Oh my God. For like 25 minutes. He's just, yeah, he just ticks every box. She don't deserve him.
But then I've managed to convince myself over the course of this 25 minute episode, I've managed to find a problem with even Aidan in this scenario. Carrie wants to have sex with Aidan, and he kind of shames her in a way. And it frustrated me that Carrie didn't have more agency over her horniness. So in the script, in the episode, Carrie freaks out because after 10 days of dating Aidan, Aidan delays having sex with her, and she internalizes it and sort of says, oh my God, is there something wrong with me? Does he just want to be friends? And then he's like, no, I just want to wait because, you know, I've slept with women quickly before and it hasn't worked out. And this is what inspires Carrie's kind of, oh my God, maybe, you know, maybe I have forgotten what romance is. But I also thought, what's wrong with Carrie wanting to have sex after 10 days?
I also think it's partly to do with this, like, which, I mean, I'm sure for some people it's true, but I think in a lot of cases, it's a total myth that like sleeping, there's this thing where it's like, don't sleep with them too early, it'll ruin it. Like, that's a complete, and you could also argue that the earlier you sleep with someone, the better, because it means you understand someone better and you get to know them better. I think Aidan was a little bit full of shit with that. But also, by the same token, I was really pissed off with Aidan until Carrie was like, mentioned that it had been, she'd known him for a week and a half. And then I was a bit like, okay, so it's not like it's been like 3 months. Like, I understand that you want to sleep with him, Carrie, but also, like maybe chill a bit.
I was thinking that until he was like, it has only been 10 days. And then she's like, I think it's so impossible to talk about. What's interesting about this episode is it throws up that on either side, if you're a bit more small-c conservative or a bit more, you know, free and easy or whatever, like it's almost, unless you're exactly on the same page, a bit like Miranda and Steve are, I think it's actually for couples really tricky to negotiate these differences without shame, because as you said, Aidan was, there's a little bit of him kind of going, well, this isn't romantic for us to have sex first, which, as you kind of rightly point out, lots of people can marry a person that they had one night stand with, it doesn't mean anything. But the way that actually the girls shamed Aidan for, again, 10 days, I thought was quite, it was almost like role reversal. They basically talked about the friend zone, or, oh, you've got to shag him quick, otherwise you'll end up friends. They kept going, what's wrong with him? And then they go on to say, oh, maybe there's something wrong with his penis and it bends slightly right, which, again, after working at Sex and Relationship Charity, I think I got about like 4 bendy penises a day. There's nothing wrong or abnormal about that. So it was
a nod to Carrie for saying, like, that's fine, I'll go left. Also, like, Samantha saying, like, oh, he's gay.
Like, yeah, it was just all the stuff just coming out. And I think it's interesting, like, what I thought was interesting about it, and again, they didn't explore it as much as I would like, is I think if two people are coming to a relationship with different sexual histories and there's a massive discrepancy there of experience, I think it potentially is hard to navigate without feeling shamed or feeling judged, because I think more conservative people might feel judged for, again, oh, is this, you know, am I a prude or am I this? And it's just a different value system. And people who have had more sexual partners might feel judged. I think it is actually something that lots of couples have to negotiate, that, because, you know, everyone has a history, but some people have very different histories. And if it's different, it's a bit more like, oh, okay, you've slept with this many people and I've had this completely different experience. And it's a bit like, I guess, the equivalent as if, I guess, you're in a relationship with somebody who, to go to a different sitcom, like when Phoebe had never been in a serious relationship. You know, there's sometimes that people kind of haven't had a serious relationship maybe in their early 30s, and some people might be like, oh, or this, and it's just how do you negotiate these differences in a healthy way, which Carrie and Aiden sort of get there by the end of this episode by having a bath where he's wearing not only a silver chain but a rope necklace, which was the most offensive thing to me.
Although that kind of set me off a little bit. I was like, oh, like I like the rope on the, I don't know what it was, but I liked the rope necklace.
I will fight you for Aiden, mate. I will fight you.
It's better than the double denim. The flared double denim of last week was a lot. Do we think, Holly, can I ask you, is there still, you know, that sort of like old trope of you must never sleep with a guy on the first date or he'll think you are slutty or whatever. Does that go on? Is that still a thing?
Probably. But then I also hear other girls actually feeling forced to have sex before they're ready because of shows like Sex and the City kind of, you know, normalizing this casual attitude. When I talk, like, go into schools and talk about safe sex, I'm always say safe sex isn't just about condoms. You have to feel emotionally safe too, and you might be someone like Samantha, who I loved at the beginning of this episode. This guy just rocks up at 2 o'clock in the morning and knocks on her door, and she just answers it naked, like, you know, takes off her silk dressing gown, and, you know, that's somebody who feels very emotionally safe to have this one night stand, which is great. But I feel like, I don't know, it's so hard because you don't want to speak on behalf of all sort of cishet women, but I think there's this weird thing now where you feel pressure to be the cool girl who can have sex and it not mean anything.
This is a good place to talk about your novel, Pretending. Because I was going to ask you about the novel at the end, but this is a much more organic time because your novel, Pretending, which, by the way, is one of my favourite novels I've read this year. I read it in 3 separate baths. That's how many baths it took. It's about a woman who, sick and tired of dating, reinvents herself as this dream girl, this kind of beer drinking, like, sexually adventurous cool girl. Can you tell us more?
It's a girl who's in her, you know, early 30s and just can't ever get into like the relationship stage because guys are always saying you're too this or you're too that, and so she just basically becomes this girl called Gretel.
So amazing. How did you pick Gretel? Because it's a fake girl name, like Juno.
Thinking of them just like the fairy tale and how it's like all made of sweets, and I sort of feel like women maybe, you know, to some degree pretend to be this sweet house, you know, I don't mind, I'm so cool, I'm so this, I don't mind you doing it to me this way, blah blah, and then once they've got the guy into the house and they're like, now here's all my fucking shit, I'm actually a really complicated person, like, you're gonna love me. And so like, Gretel's like the house of sweets that I feel like we all display when we're trying to get people to like us in the initial stages of a relationship. But yeah, she becomes this cool girl who is like, yeah, it's fine for us to have sex however you like, I don't mind, oh yeah, I can easily orgasm. And I find looking at casual sex in straight women really interesting when you look at the orgasm gap. And unless only women who are having casual sex are able to orgasm solely through penetration, or one of those women or who are confident enough to go to a complete stranger they've just met in a nightclub, this is what you need to do, X, Y, and Z, which, you know, someone like Samantha is. I'm always just a bit like, why do women have casual sex with straight men if they're not actually usually getting off? Like, I find that really interesting. And sometimes I would examine if they are doing it for maybe less liberated, more complicated reasons, like societal pressure now to be the cool girl who, you know, can just let someone shag her and it doesn't mean anything. And she's like, yeah, that's fine. I wasn't hoping you would call afterwards. I'm really liberated. It's tricky. As I said, I'm trying so hard to talk about this without any shame and judgment. I promise I have none. But I do feel like women are in this weird thing where you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. You're like, we're still in this weird Madonna whore complex, which was playing out quite a lot, actually. I wrote down Madonna whore? It did raise that straight women, I do feel like, are always in that.
Is the cool girl thing kind of a bit of a response to, not a response to, but a product of the Me Too thing? So is the cool girl thing like, oh, don't worry, like, I'm not that, like, I'm not one of those, like, really, like, uptight women? Yeah.
Well, that's what, like, in, I like, my novel Pretending is about, in that, you know, April, sadly, you know, has been a victim of, you know, sexual violence, as so many women in this country are. You know, it's about 1 in 5, 1 in 4, and I would argue that the statistics are actually a lot harder than that. And the way that sexual trauma impacts, you know, it undoubtedly does impact your relationship with sex. And, you know, and it's not fair because you never asked for this thing to happen to you. And sexual violence is nothing to do with sex, it's to do with power. But however, of course, it is going to some degree play out in your sexual relationship. So it's, yeah, it's like, I feel like some women are trying to just be like, don't worry, I'm not damaged, even though, like, actually things have happened to me and I can be really cool. And so, as I said, like, looking, understanding promiscuity in straight women is just absolutely fascinating, because we know that biologically women are more promiscuous than we give them credit for. Like, we've got something in us that makes sperm have to fight. Like, we have, like, these juices that make, you know, which shows that we are actually technically supposed to have lots of sperm in us so we can get the best one up there and to do the job. But you're balancing that against, you know, hundreds of thousands of years of social conditioning, and attachment and bonding and love and all the other things. So it's complicated. And that's why I just kind of gave up halfway through and just like, I'm just going to just perv on Aiden. I love this man's very attractive.
Well, let's go back to Madonna Whore. And speaking of Madonna Whore, we have You Stupid Bitch, You Stupid Whore. It's Charlotte and her orgasm Tourette's friend.
This was wild. Like, I don't even know what...
This must have happened to one of the writers, because it's so specific that somebody in that writer's room must have had this experience.
It made me think of, like, I was going to ask you two if anyone had said anything really weird in the same sort of way. And it made me think of this amazing story that my friend has. And he slept with a drag queen, a well-known drag queen who shall remain nameless.
Until after we've stopped recording.
Yeah. And when he met her at the meet and greet, she was like, are you starstruck? And he was like, no, not really. And then they were shagging later. And as she was coming, she was like, are you starstruck now? Which is just amazing.
That if I wrote that in a script, somebody would say, no, that's tacky.
That's
you need
ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, what do we think of Charlotte?
I found it was really interesting, the line when she said, I don't want to be a whore, I just want to get married, or something like that. It was just like, is that what I found, like, nobody had kind of like put this storyline under enough strain before they put it in the show, and I was a bit like, how many women has this guy been sleeping with and doing that to who have just not mentioned it? Like, because at the end when she tells him, he's like, oh my god, I have to go to sex therapy, this is bad. And I'm like, unless, like, you've lost your virginity to Charlotte York, who are all these people in the past who've just gone, all right, I'll just let that one slide?
Right, yeah, that's a good point.
I thought he was really beautiful, the man though. I thought he had a lovely teeth.
And gorgeous, very, nice very eyebrows.
Beautiful brows and lovely long lashes. I might have tolerated a tiny bit of verbal abuse. If I'm not going to lie, I might have just...
enjoyed it.
Acknowledged it. I think as well, it's a problem because he's, unfortunately, he's doing it with a woman who... absolutely, you know, she made a vow in episode one that this was the year she was going to get married. And unfortunately, we know that's on her mind. But interestingly, this is, again, it's very portentous of what later happens with Trey, whereby he can only have sex with Jugs magazine, and because he regards Charlotte as his perfect wife. So strangely, Charlotte has kind of made a rod for her back by needing to be seen as puritanical. She later is unable to get her husband to regard her as a sexual being, which is interesting. And so this is something that Charlotte will come back to. But I respect Alexander's you know, he agrees. Oh my God, that's a terrible thing to say. And I certainly don't think that about you. To which Charlotte could have said, I quite like it. I'll be your dirty whore. You know, why not have fun with it? But no, Charlotte was not down. Because, I mean, I have experienced that, but in kind of, you know, sometimes sexy talk can be a turn on.
But not like involuntary, like when you know that, like, when you know that they're saying it deliberately because they know you'll like it, that's a different matter, like, rather than them just sort of not knowing that. It was also, like, completely unbelievable. Like, how could he not know? Like, when she was like, oh, that, and he was like, what? Like, it was ridiculous.
Maybe he's possessed by a demon. And actually, this is one of the few times that Sex and the City became a supernatural show.
The Madonna whore demon. Crossover.
Yeah, like an orgasm demon who possesses him at the moment of climax. Let's finish off this week with, I must admit, I did laugh. I couldn't stop laughing. I can't close my left eye because of you!
What was the other wing? What did Samantha call herself? Fuckenstein?
I did. I did scream with laughter at Fuckenstein.
I also adored the montage of her in the lift as well with, like, the various men. So amazing. But this made me think of, like, again, I fell down a bit of a wormhole with this one. Fucking, like different people's standards of what is acceptable. And, like, oh, you're bad because you've got a man coming over at 2 a.m. Yes, well, that's my lifestyle. Your lifestyle is you sit and watch TV, and never do anything or anyone. Yeah, they touched a nerve with me a little bit, mostly because I've experienced similar exchanges with neighbours.
I feel like Sam could have shown a slight, like, they shouldn't judge her behaviour and she was not to blame for what happened. Like, only the guy who commits the crime is to blame. However, like, she didn't really give a shit that woman had no eye. She was just a bit like, oh, what? On my way to Bridge. Like, it was like, slight bit of, yeah, I feel really bad, even though I shouldn't feel bad because it's not my fault. Like, it would have gone a long way. It was just like, she was a bit like, gone straight into don't judge me. And it's like, there is an old lady on crutches with only one eye hobbling around your house.
I don't close my eye because of you. And I don't believe for a second Samantha would have given up a rent-controlled apartment on the Upper East Side, because that is a time capsule, if that's what she has.
Although her moving to the meatpacking district is quite a mood.
It is. And did you see Willem? Willem is one of the transsexual sex workers who waves her into her new building. The transgender sex workers will make a comeback in the season finale. But yes, so in conclusion, are we sluts? No. Abstract concept. It's like virginity. It doesn't really exist. There is no such thing as a slut. There are only slut shamers, and only slut shamers define the notion of sluts. So really the question should maybe have been, why am I still judging my friends based on their sexual partners?
I don't think there's any world where Carrie would ever ask that question of herself. Because then the show would have to end. So.
Why am I so wrong? ?
About everything.
Holly, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you.
You have added a level of class to this episode that I don't think Dylan and I would have achieved by ourselves. So thank you very much for bringing your expertise on and also joining. Well, you know, because our turn is so low, and I really think you've elevated our turn. So thank you very, very much. Is there anything else you would like to plug before we go into the abyss?
No, I'm good. I'm all plugged.
You're plugged. Please. If you're listening to this podcast, I believe you've already read Holly's books. So I am one more voice telling you to spread the word. Thank you very much for joining us. We will be back next week with Season 3, Episode 7, Drama Queens. Until then, do follow us at SIGTT Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, and like and subscribe. See you next week.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.